Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, please open them up to John. John chapter 21. We are looking at a series of, I guess you could call them sermons, that Jesus is preaching between the resurrection and the ascension. Things he wants to say last minute. This is what I want to tell you before I'm gone. And he is all over the place. We don't know all the different people he's met. In fact, it talks about that a little bit here at the very end of this book. But we know Jesus was concerned. So we're going to look at verses 20 through 23 mainly this morning. And if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to begin John 21, verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread among the brothers that the disciples was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" Our Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the opportunity to just get some more insight and encouragement from the last few messages that the Lord Jesus Christ really preached to all of us and is preaching to us today. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. Help us to look at ourselves as you look through us through your word. And I pray there's anyone here this morning who is weary, heavy laden, that they will find rest in Christ. If there's anyone here today that is down and out, they will find their resurrection in Jesus. And if someone here today doesn't know you as Savior, they will come to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we did it. We did it. Yesterday, a few of us ran, some of us walked, the mini 13.1 miles of fun and frolic. Now, I know there's some here. David, we saw him before the race. So if you ran or walked that, go ahead and just wave. You don't have to stand. Just put your hand up. Go ahead. You did. Yeah, that was you. Who else? Ron's back there. Dawn's here somewhere. Brookie, yeah. Some others. Yeah, all right. Quick hand up and down. It was quite the show, actually. I mean, I've watched it from the outside, but being in the I wasn't in the middle. They have they have zones and they have letters, and then they go into double letters. We were like on Pluto where we started. That's okay. They don't start your time till you get to the front, which took a while to get there. But the send-off was still quite entertaining. They had all kinds of people. But along the way, it was a lot of variety as well of entertainment that I didn't know because I had never done it before. But they have just random folks. Some were professional, I think, or at least semi-professional. I don't know. I grew up in the 70s and 60s. Rock bands, whatever. They really weren't very rocky. But anyway, bands on the side. And then they just had random people out in their lawn with the radio blasting, doing all kinds of interesting things. Around marker mile 9, that's after you finish. I think you enter the speedway, the track, around mile 6.5. So by the time you get out of the track, you're past 9 miles. So now, that was kind of fun, being on the track. I'm just glad it wasn't warmer than like 50 because, whew, that track would have been awful. But anyway, once you get out, we're around mile 9. Then there's this battle that begins. Now it's mind against body. You realize, okay, I'm not that far away, but 4.1 miles or so is still kind of a long walk when you're already tired. And the mind says go. What does the body constantly say? Stop. Mine was more like stop. But and it's kind of easy to lose focus. I mean, if it wasn't for all those entertainers along the way, and said, what is that person doing? I don't know what would have happened. But it's easy to lose focus. And Dawn and I had to keep telling each other, we had to just stay on target. We just got to stay focused, stay on target. It gets to a point, at least for us, it was where it was like, let's just finish. And then you start thinking about all the things you can do when you're finished. Just guess what? When we get done, we could get an icy. And then it graduated from there. Then we'd go to Bub's Burgers and get a hamburger. Doesn't that sound good? And we got all these things. Think of all the spiritual parallelisms, though, right? As we're walking this life and the journey that we're having, we get focused and it's great. We're excited. Jesus saved us. And we have those moments like today when we're able to fellowship about what Christ has done for us. And then we hit mile marker 9 in the Christian walk, don't we? Yeah. And now it's like, man, I know Jesus is coming. I know he's coming, but boy, I don't know if I could go 4.1 more miles. I don't know. And what is that person doing over there? See what happens? We lose focus. We start to. It's easy to. It's just human nature. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm the one. I'm leading the parade and losing focus, all right? You get tired. You get hurt. You get angry. You get all kinds of things. And you got to stay focused. It's important so you don't end up, you know, walking off the path, off the bridge, into the river or wherever. So that's our big idea today, what we want to launch on today, all right? Our big idea, ooh, don't pull back on that or I will go launching right into the campfire. Here, let's do that. All right, there we go. Oh, much better. All right, stay on target. Don't compare your life with others. Instead, look unto Jesus. All right, stay on target. What are we supposed to do? Stay on target. Don't compare your life with others. Not in an envious way, at least. But by looking unto Jesus. You got to have that. All right, you got the big idea? Let's kind of walk through it a little bit. Now, as a competitor, it's easy to look around, especially during the mini, at everyone around you and their speed to yours. I have to worry about that too much, but we were up ahead of enough people. I don't know how many hundreds were behind us, but quite a few. I think there were 20-some thousand that walked or ran combined, but it was a lot of people. So you find yourself in not always enjoying the race when you start the comparison thing. And so this is kind of what we see up front here. Now, we didn't read earlier, but Jesus is talking to Peter. He's already restored him. And he's telling him what kind of death he was going to have. And I can imagine, whoa, really? Now, that is, do you think of how unique that was? Very few, I would imagine, even in scriptures, had that given to them. By the way, this is what's going to happen in your life, and this is how you're going to die. You know, I would like to have said, man, you're going to live a long life, it's going to be challenging, but you're going to just, you know, go to bed one night and wake up and you're going to be with me in heaven. That is not the description Peter got. He was going to have to be led around by people he didn't necessarily want to be led around by, go to places he didn't necessarily want to go. He's describing his death, and as you know, tradition tells us that Peter was crucified, but upside down. Because he did not want to be considered to be, even in the same category as his Lord, he didn't deserve it. Imagine dying and knowing you're going to die that way. So he's told the goal, of course, and the mission and everything. We're going to get to that in a second. And he wants to enjoy the race, but he realizes what's ahead. But that's part of his growth and his trust in Christ. And after the Lord restored him, Peter, and telling him what kind of death, Peter, he says simply to him, two words, follow me. Follow me. It's going to be important in this race. Now, I understand mile 1 through 8, you're going to have a lot of adventures, and read the book of Acts, you're going to see it. Woo, it's crazy. He does all kinds of things, and things he would probably never have imagined. He saw Jesus do it, and he participated some, and now he's kind of leading the way, and this is great, but then he hits mile marker 9. And now, oh man, well, this isn't so much fun. Things are more difficult. And Jesus says, look, don't get distracted. Follow me. Stay on target. Follow me to the end. It's okay. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. The target was given. It was clear what he was supposed to do. But the first thing you see, Peter turned. I tend to do that sometimes with the Lord. You know, this is the way it is, right? Had a great Sunday school class, had a great youth camp, had a great, you know, ladies retreat or men's retreat, had all those things. Got fired up, man. I heard his sermon on YouTube or, you know, whatever you download. It was awesome. And then the second it's over, you turn. Right? Something happens. Now that's life. But Peter turned and he looked at the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. I don't know what John's writing this. He doesn't use his own name. That's a whole other discussion. It's not the point. Maybe that's why he did that. So anyway, he's looking at John, who I'm sure they're close buddies. They're friends. It wasn't like he didn't like him. And he just said, what about this guy? I know what I'm going through. What about him? Right? Yeah, he's already gone squirrel on everybody. Oh, Peter turned. What about this man? Now, we know Peter's impulsive. Sometimes he talks before he thinks. Anybody do that? He draws conclusions before he gets all the information. Anyone ever do that? Sometimes he just jumps into action without even being asked. You ever do that? Yeah. So Jesus has a history with Peter and how to handle him. He's worked in Peter's classroom for a while. He has some experience. So what does he do? I love it. Jesus shows absolutely zero interest in answering his question. Did you catch that? It's as if whatever it was, he's not going to really deal with it. He's going to address the question, but he's not really going to answer the question. He's got, really, 3.5 years, everything we've done. I'm not even going to go down that road. I'm just going to recall you back to here. So, simply, there's really no dialogue here. There's no debate. He just gives him a clear command. If that's my will, that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the phrase follow me is mentioned twice in just less than a paragraph. I think that's kind of important. Twice. Follow me. It must be difficult for us. There are several phrases that in the Jewish culture that's used to express this idea of follow me. One we see here, actually it's used 6 times in John, and it's used over 70 times, I believe, in the Gospels. And so we see this happening. Actually, the first time it's used in John, he calls out Philip. He says, hey, Philip, come on. It's in chapter 1. Philip, follow me. Let's go. Another picture, I really love this one, because it's actually a different phrase completely in the Greek, but it's translated the exact same way in English. Same phrase. Matthew 4:19, it says, follow me, but it literally means, come behind me. Come on. Come on behind me. Let's go. So it's the idea of not just telling a person where to go, but actually coming along and showing them how to do it. One of the first questions I asked, which is really kind of a stupid question, but I've been known to ask them before, during the race, I turned to Dawn and said, how in the world do those front runners who are just zooming, right, through the course, I mean, they're done before I get started. Pretty much. And how do they know the right way? They've got it marked out pretty good with the strange folks that are there entertaining us along the way and all kinds of they've got water tables and great things to help us along the way. So simply, this idea is that you're not alone. It didn't just say, hey guys, I want you to go save the world for me now. I'll see you later. Now, the whole concept of follow me was literally a relationship type of phrase. So really, the best way to teach someone about Christian life and principles is to go way beyond the Bible study that you might have in your home, which is awesome. It is taking someone and showing them how to do it, how to live. That's true discipleship. We sometimes, I'm not saying it's just an American thing, but we think, well, if I just educate myself enough, I'm going to become this deep, great disciple. If that's the case, the Pharisees would be number one. And not all Pharisees were bad, by the way. In fact, some of them stood up for the Lord at the end. That's for another topic. But here we have them showing. That's what Jesus spent 3.5 years doing. Before he said, follow me, he said, let's go. Did you catch that? Before he said, follow me, he said, let's go. Where are we going? We're just going down here. We got to go to this town. He knows exactly where he needs to go. He needs to know what mile marker he's heading at. They need to go there, and there they're going to get some Gatorade because he realizes they've worked pretty hard. And so this particular, but they wouldn't get there unless he showed them how to get there. So he shows them the way. Discipleship is beyond just information. It's walking. That's where we get this idea of follow me. Follow behind me. Do what I do. Don't just do what I say. Do what I do. So it's mentoring. It's being united. It's actually, the phrase means united on the same road. Isn't that cool? You can look it up. United together on the same road. Can you imagine just for a moment, if you could, can we just for a second, I'm not talking about, we're talking about people who claim, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Scripture is God's inerrant word. We're talking about those folks, okay? But they all have different denominational or no denominational names. Can you imagine what might happen just in this city alone if we could actually walk together in unity under one roof? No matter how old, young, what country you came from, what wherever, what color of your skin, it doesn't matter. One church. Jesus showed that. We've been off path for a long time. Once in a while we get it right. It's kind of cool when it happens. But that's what this word means. Follow me. Go the same direction as me. So in fact, Jesus is simply saying, look, don't be distracted, Peter, by your best friend over here. I've got something I want him to do. He's got his own job. And you've got yours. And you're both following me. And guess what the cool thing is? When you follow Jesus, you're going to get exactly where you need to be. Well, the target is pretty clear. The target's the mission of God. It's the idea of more than arm length participation, which is what's happening today too much, or just sending others to evangelize, which is great to do, while we remain sort of disengaged to all of that, but I'm willing to write the check. We're sit safely behind my computer screen without ever engaging someone face to face with the mission is a gospel centered life. You see, when I say the word gospel, I know exactly where your mind goes because it's exactly where my mind goes. You're going through the Romans Road for you old timers, right? Maybe some of you new timers got that down pretty good. You're going through an evangelism thing. The gospel is broader than that. The target, the mission, since the beginning, since the Garden of Eden, was to reclaim what was lost, the relationship with God, and the impact that being a Christ-centered, God-centered life would do for the world in every aspect. How we walk, how we talk, how we treat each other, how we love one another, and all we have going on in this world, it seems, in many places, is war and fighting. And the gospel just absolutely penetrates the heart of man, but it doesn't stop there. It speaks to justice. It speaks to the poor. It speaks to the rich. It speaks to how we help people who don't even know how to help themselves rather than standing in judgment over them. It speaks to life. Our communities, our schools, public, private, Christian, non-Christian, all of it would change with the gospel. Are you hearing me? You're not done. That's the beginning. That's the heart. It goes deeper. It's broader. That's the target. Paul mentions it in different places, but here's one that kind of gives an example. There are more. 1 Timothy 2:1-4, Paul writes this. I love it. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. Did you hear about I want them to bow their knees and pray to Jesus for their Savior? Not now. I'm not saying he's not important, right? Paul pretty much preaches the gospel. He's talking about, are you praying for your leadership? Because gospel helps change communities in every way. It's God's people engaged, praying for their leaders, helping them in every way we can according to the word of God. Well, he continues on, pray for the kings and all who are in high positions. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. How's America doing? Godly and dignified in every way. How are we doing? Starting at the top. See, but we can't just stay in a position of judgment over everyone because of one thing. We are Americans. Don't separate yourself from your people. I understand you don't have to hold those views. My friends, gospel will change how you think and engage even with kings that are not necessarily following God. Just read Daniel, man. Looking forward to Pastor Brian's next sermon when he's able to continue on with that and talk about how we can engage culture. And yes, we give the hope of Christ. That is the foundation, but it doesn't stop there. And then he just continues on and says, this is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to this knowledge of truth. The gospel will transform your life and your community. It will do it. So that's the target, okay? So when I say stay on target, I just wanted to be clear. And we're almost done with the introduction, so this is good. We've got a target. It's God's mission, not ours. I don't take this and go, well, I like chapter 17, but forget chapters 19 through 21. No, that isn't going to happen. We have been given a very clear mandate by God. It's God's mission. And our target in God's mission is a gospel-centered life. A gospel-centered life. And where ordinary obedience and everyday contexts matter. Ordinary days, faithful obedience, just in the context of your life, man, you can make a difference right where you're at. Well, I only have two or three people I work with. Woo! Man, in the name of Jesus, go get them by showing God's love, living God's truth. You have no idea the chain reaction that one insignificant person that you're working with can cause to create a revival. It's happened before, and it can happen again. See, but we turn around. Oh, look at that person. They got all of this, and I just have this. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. So stay on target, but not by comparing your life with others, but by looking unto Jesus. Now, there were two moments, actually, in walking the race where I almost knocked myself out. Not only I knocked myself out that way, but I was wondering, after several hours, how many people were actually still behind us. So there would be times where I would do this number. Now, I don't want to get nervous when I get right here and I keep walking and I do that. Yeah. So what happens? It's the obvious. What happens when you're turning around looking behind you? Yeah. It's happened before even when I was looking forward. But in this particular race, twice. Once there was a pothole. Yeah. That would have been a real bummer, be on mile 10 and I had to get off. God is so good, gracious. I went right down into that thing, but I went right down flat into it instead of, you know, the twist, which is normally what happens, right? Some kind of a turn or twist. Didn't have that. And you think I'd be smart enough to do it again, but I wasn't. So another mile later, I turned around, and as I was doing it, I was crossing railroad tracks, and I just about fell. And, you know, I've fallen before. No big deal, right? God, what is wrong with me? I don't know. Anyway, that would have been a showstopper. You know that. But it did remind me from the second time. I was kind of like Peter. Hello, Peter. Look forward. So this is how I park. Jonathan, just stay up here for a minute. Come on up here. So, he didn't know he was going to do this, and he's always nervous about standing up front. But I want you to go that way. So I'm talking, this is Jesus and Peter, okay? So I'm going to play the role of Jesus. Sorry, you got to be Peter. But it's okay, it turns out good in the end. So anyway, so I just told him what to do. He's turning around looking, and this is really how I think the word, what it kind of means. And I think this is what Jesus has to do to us. Mother, you ever do this? Jonathan, look here. Follow me. Mom's laughing. She's probably done that once or twice. My favorite story of all times, you've heard it before, is when, you know, don't mess with mom, right? I remember when Jared got a little in trouble, and he wouldn't believe none of my son being in trouble, but he did. And so this is how Don would deal with it. All right, you're tall. Come here. All right, there you go. So he's really tall here. Now you come here. Yeah. Now, she's not doing this number. She would say, you come right over here to these steps. And she'd stand right there. And this is what Dawn would do. Now, bend over and point your finger at him. They'll yell at him. Thanks, guys. Have a seat. That's it. Yeah. So, Peter's got to get his attention, right? And he does. I mean, God's got to get Peter's attention, and he does. You know, he has a great, I just see him, Peter, don't look at John. What are you doing? Look at John. I'm talking about you. You're missing some important information because you're worried about him. Whatever plans I got for him, they're great for him, but they're great for the kingdom of God, and you got to quit comparing yourself. And it's hard not to, isn't it? It's just hard not to do that. You know, Peter struggled at times with wandering eyes. I just wrote I didn't even write near all of them, and you guys can come up with a fun list of all the characters in the Bible. Of course, the most famous one is when Peter looks away while he's walking on the water. He's doing something amazing. And as soon as he looks away, what happens? He starts to fall down. That's right. Yep. Here's one that really hit me hard, though, was when Jesus is talking about the... This actually was just not long before, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe not even that long. Jesus is talking real specifically about him going to the cross. And guess who's bold and courageous enough to stamp and say, there's no way that's going to happen. Who was that? It was Peter. Now, we love his courage. We love his love. I'm not doubting his love. See, don't get that mixed up. He loved the Lord. But he was thinking, he wasn't following Jesus' word. He loved, you know, Psalm 23, but he didn't like some of the Psalms, other Psalms. I don't want that one, Lord. We're not going there. And he got pretty strongly rebuked, didn't he? You're not following my way. You're following your own way. You think you're following your way, but you're not. Get behind me. Yeah. Wow. Wondering eyes can turn me into Satan, and I don't even want to be Satan. He wasn't trying to hurt Jesus, but Peter's way would have destroyed the whole plan. We'd be lost in our sins. Woo! There's more. We're going to skip on. You know, we struggle too. Christians struggle, non-Christians struggle. All people in the world struggle with wandering eyes. The parable of the soils talks about that in our own life. We can let the worries of life get in the way and just steal our joy. Steal it away. Take it away. We can talk about the deceitfulness of riches, how, man, God has blessed you and has blessed you with so many wonderful things, maybe health, maybe riches, maybe both. And all those things are awesome, and we give thanks to God for that. But it's deceitful. That's not where true joy and peace will ever be found, despite how much money you may or may not have. And he warns people about that, and because of that, in fact, even there's a section in the New Testament about that. Be sure you talk to those who are rich. They don't get distracted. Over here, I'll jump in and sing my praise song, Hallelujah, Jesus. But now I'm out of here. I'll see you guys in 4 months, kind of a thing. No, we're engaged with Jesus wherever we go, whether it's here or north, south, east, west, doesn't matter. So we've got that going on. How about the Martha syndrome? Martha is awesome, and we're going to enjoy fellowship with her in heaven, amen? But she could get her eyes on the wrong thing. In fact, she was upset with her sister, right? My sister's sitting here. She's doing nothing. I'm killing myself in the kitchen. Anybody ever feel that way? Come on, all you kitchen workers. Put those hands up in the air. Hallelujah. Now, they have great attitudes. They have great attitudes. So I'm just saying we can get distracted by comparing what we're doing of what others are doing. And Jesus set her straight. Mary's seeking the higher things, the better things. It's not that what you're doing is bad, but you could have done some of that. I mean, come on here and listen to me too. It works. Paul says in Galatians 5:25, just stop envying each other. That envy comes from comparison. We do it all the time. Someone has more money than us. Boy, if I only had money. Someone has kids, and we may not have kids, and that can be hurtful. But we compare God's love for us by the things that we have. Someone has better gifts than me. Man, I've been playing my horn forever. How come I'm not on the Tonight Show band? Well, I'll give you about 15-second audition, and you'll find out why. Why can't I do that? Why can't, you know, there it is. You just fall into it. Why, Lord? I've done this. Someone's more popular than me. Someone's smarter than me. Oh, man, this is a big one. You know, I was number 4. My problem is the 3 smarter treadways are before the 4th one. Yeah, so you know what happens, right? When I get into the classroom when they've already had 3 of my brothers. Oh, you're a treadway. They have what? Boy, did I blow those up right away. I was not interested in learning, but I was interested in having fun. But the teacher's fun and my fun definitions were different. Anyway, so we got that going on. Someone's always going to be more athletic. Or maybe there's some here. I know there's some here that are single that want to be married. And God says, follow me. And your turn and says, but my buddy just got married again. Or she just got married again. And their heart's hurting. Do you guys know that? Do you guys know that? Some of us have been away from that. We probably don't think about it too much. But there are folks that would love to find God's mate for them. I don't judge them wanting that. But Jesus would say, follow me. You don't know what's going to happen on mile marker 11 that I got planned for you. But you got to wait. And I don't know what that is. That's exactly how the serpent took us out in the Garden of Eden. That's exactly how he did it. He compared what God had said to a fabrication. He's withholding something from you. And he has them look back just for a moment to grab whatever fruit it was. Mine is watermelon. I don't know what yours is. Whatever fruit it was, and the fall. Yeah. Wandering eyes. Why do you think Jesus is always every morning in the beautiful sunshine or something through our day? That's Jesus taking your face in his hands every day and saying, look here. Follow me. It's all right. Follow me. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about that. Follow me. Jesus' response is pretty strong, I admit it. But again, remember, he had been talking about this. In fact, this was a discipleship issue. Wasn't just a Peter issue. There were several times where Jesus had to speak about, hey guys, quit talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Quit talking about who's going to sit at the right hand. Don't do that. What are you doing? Focus on the mission, on this. That's all going to take care of itself. I got your back, brothers. But if you're looking and worrying about where your position is, you've missed the whole point. It's not about you. It's about the mission. And I got news for us all. You've heard this, and boy, it was pounded into me since I was a kid. I think we're going to be surprised at the judgment seat of Christ. Because now the judge, not all these preachers, he's going to be the one saying, well done. Who is that person? I never heard of them. Oh, they helped change the course of a whole community through their faithful, quiet, unrecognized service of prayer and love. And I saw the whole thing. They never preached a sermon in front of a crowd, but they kindly showed the love of God. Some people here, I bet, because believe it or not, there have been moments in my own life in ministry where I felt maybe unimportant, like what's going on? What am I doing? Am I making a difference? Anyone ever feel that way other than me? Am I making any difference at all? And God's getting my face. Look at me. Follow me. I got you, man. Don't worry about all that. It's going to be good. So Jesus redirects Peter's gaze, and he makes it very clear that his responsibility is not another person's path. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to follow him. So stay on target. Well, we got to the end, or close to the end. When you see mile marker 12 out of 13.1, you start having hope that you're actually going to make it. You know, and you're tired, but you realize you don't want to get picked up by the bus of shame. That was the real reason I was turning around. So anyway, but we were far ahead of it. In fact, we found out that Dawn and I had our best time when we ever walked. So that was great. We needed it. But man, you get there and you're focused and you see the city. You're like, oh, you know, you go over the bridge. And I think the bridge is where you start seeing the city a little bit more. And then you get closer and you say, what is that thing? Is it actually the finish line? Oh. So that's the best dance I can do. But it reminded me of this, and I'm going to close with this. Following an important chapter about a lot of people that we would not have known, he doesn't even mention their names. He says this, and it's for you. It's for you and me. I think we could go forward from this to finish well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us always lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run or walk with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Who? I only hear like 10 of you. Okay, this is call and response. I call, you response. Who?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you want to finish well, you got to run well. And the way you do that is by staying on target. Follow Jesus' call in your life. Run the race he's called you to run. Don't be worried about that person there, or that person there way ahead, or that person over here. Stay on the path. Where are your eyes this morning? Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today, and you are all, we're all in the race of life, but if you're here today and you don't know if you're in the, your race is going to lead you to heaven, I want you to know today that Jesus is calling you to faith. It's not in your efforts in the race by doing great and wonderful things along the way, as good as those things are. And I would say God would certainly be pleased with good efforts, but those things don't bring you to God. Your call today, your race is the race of faith. If you have not ever in your life, I'm not asking if you believe about Jesus that he is God. I'm asking, are you trusting in him? Have you come to the place where you've turned from yourself and whatever it is you're trusting in? That's the idea of repentance. You're a sinner. You recognize nothing you do can meet God's standard. And you're turning to Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again. And you're trusting in him. In fact, you're calling out to him, Lord Jesus, save me. If you haven't done that, my friend, that's what you need to do right now. Cry out to the Lord, Jesus, save me. And help me now, all of us together, help me to follow after you. So if you're here today and you need to do that, please take care of that now. For the race for you is only has one ending if you're without Christ, and that's the pathway to hell. But God has another option for you. Eternal joy and life with him by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can do that where you're at right now. Call on him and ask. And for all my brothers and sisters in Christ here today, where are your eyes? If they're wandering away, feel the Savior even now turning your face and lovingly looking into your soul and saying, I love you. Follow me. It'll be all right. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you love us so much. There are times when you discuss things with us, and there are times, Lord, where you just, I'm not going to have that conversation. That's what you did with Peter. He knew the truth. He needed to be reminded of it. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning as well. Maybe they don't feel like they've compared up to others. Well, Lord, we're not supposed to compare up to others in an envious way. The only time you've ever called us is that Paul called us to follow him as he followed Christ. But Lord, we have different gifts, different callings, different things, and they're all important according to your will. So I pray that we would not play that game, that we would be all that you've called us to be, and that we would follow you obediently for the glory of God. If there's someone here today that needs some prayer or wants to trust Christ and wants to talk about that a little bit more, Lord, give them the strength and courage to come and talk with me at the front as we close out our time here tonight or this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.